If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11. We will be reading, beginning at verse number 12. That is Mark, chapter 11, beginning at verse number 12. And the word says, "Now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." From this text tonight, I want to talk on the subject, nothing but leaves. Nothing but leaves. As we begin to read this text, we notice something about Jesus. He was hungry. And a lot of times in our sacred scripture, we seldom hear about this thing about Jesus. We seldom hear about some humanistic desires that he might have. But here, when we do, it shows without a doubt that our Lord, although he was divine, although he was deity, he was also very human in respects to his pilgrimage here on earth. And on this occasion, he saw a fig tree that was in the distance. And this fig tree had full foliage. In other words, it was full of leaves, which usually is a sign that there is fruit that is ready to be eaten. However, we notice in the text that as our Lord got closer to the tree, he noticed that there was no figs on this tree. It wasn't full foliage, but yet there was no fruit to be found. There was nothing but leaves. And upon discovering this, our Lord was disappointed. He was disappointed because now he was not able to satisfy his hunger. So what did he do? He pronounced a curse upon this tree that it will never produce fruit again. Now, some might be wondering and asking themselves, why is this story even recorded in the sacred texts? Well, the first thing to understand that the problem with this tree was that it put on a face of fruitful delight, but yet it was full of hypocrisy, and that it claimed one thing, but yet it displayed another. So when you ask yourself the question, why was this recorded in the sacred text? Perhaps our Lord was trying to teach about the hypocrisy of men and the expectations of what God requires of those who claim to be his people. So tonight, we're going to look at three things. Three basic points, hopefully, that will help us to grow in as we go along our spiritual journey. First thing we're going to look at is what Jesus sought. Then we'll look at what he seeks right now. The second thing we'll look at is what Jesus found and what he finds right now. And the third thing is what Jesus did and then what he does now. So the first thing, what he sought and what he seeks. Now, with the fig tree, he sought fruit. And he had every right to expect it to be there. It was in full foliage. And when you see a fig tree in full foliage, that usually means that the fruit is already there. So he had every right to expect it when he got there. And just like the Jewish nation of the time, Jesus sought fruits of righteousness from them, and he had every right to expect it. These people were God's chosen people. They were God's special people. And God had kept them by his providence. He had taken them out of the land of Egypt, brought them out of bondage, gave them a land of milk and honey, had destroyed their enemies before them, and gave them protection and promised them great blessings. Turn your Bibles over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning at verse number 6. The Bible says here, "For you are," talking about the Jews, talking about Israel. He says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord, your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep his oath, he swore to your fathers. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." So Jesus had every right to expect more than just leaves from these people, more than just hypocrisy from these people. What he should have found was a people who were of gratitude, a people who were of love, a people who were a compassionate people and an obedient people, because they were his chosen and special people. And then today, for the Christian who is a child of God, our Lord seeks fruits of obedience and righteousness from us today. And you know what? He has a right to expect it. According to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says he has given us all spiritual blessings. Therefore, he has a right to expect us to be fruitful. He has given us everything that we need. And then in John chapter 15 and verse number 5, he says this, "I am the vine and you are the branches." He says, "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So the Bible says, so if we abide in him, we should be producing fruits of righteousness, because the vine, which is Jesus, provides us with what we need. So what is it that our Lord seeks today? Well, he seeks fruit-bearing Christians, bearing the fruits of righteousness and living a righteous life. Now, here's the second point. What Jesus found then and what he finds today. Now, in the fig tree, he found nothing but leaves. And in the Jewish nation, he found nothing but hypocrisy. Turn your Bibles over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 23. And looking about verse number 23. The Bible says here, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," he says, "for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, Justice and mercy and faith, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Oh, he wasn't done yet. He says, blind guides, verse 24, who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Then he says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Then he says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like white-shed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. And then he says in verse 28, even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. I want you to notice three times in this short text that we read, Jesus calls them hypocrites and calls them out for their hypocrisy. That's because they put on the appearance of righteousness, but they were hypocritical in their ways. And this is what Jesus found when he came here in his earthly ministry. But how about today? What will he find in us Christians today? Well, in some cases, he will find nothing but leaves. You see, there are some Christians who profess to speak where the Bible speaks, but do not practice it themselves. There are some Christians who will come and they will observe the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day, but they do not honor and serve the Lord any other day. There are some Christians who will want to be forgiven, but never forgive anyone themselves. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32 tells us that we need to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. But do we do it? Some do. But there are some who do not. We know that we are supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth, according to John chapter 4 and verse 24. But sometimes our heart is not in it. There are some who come through the doors on Sunday morning already looking at the clock. When is it time to leave? Is that preacher going to preach too long tonight? I got things to do. You know, I know some people have said, and preachers have said sometimes, thank you for coming, because I'm quite sure there might be better places that you think you should be. But there's no better place to be in the house of God, worshiping with the saints, doing God's will. Because in the end, you want to get to heaven. But there are some Christians whose heart is just not in it. And if Jesus comes and he finds you in that way, then you will be no better off than what he found in those Israelites when he came, who he condemned because of their hypocrisy. And know this, no hypocrite will make it into heaven. All right, now the third point. Yes, I'm almost done. The third point. What will Jesus do when he comes? And what did he do? Well, with the fig tree, the Bible says that he cursed it. And that fig tree withered and it was no longer able to produce any fruit. And as we look at Israel and the hypocrisy and their hypocritical ways, we find that Jesus and God judged them and found them not worthy of the blessed place which God had lifted them up to. And we can see throughout the historical records how they were scattered to the four winds because God deemed them unworthy because of their hypocrisy. Turn over to the book of 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. And looking at verse number 6. The Bible says, but if you or your sons, God speaking to Solomon, he said, but if you or your sons at all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them. And this house, which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done this, done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. When we look at the historical record, we find that Israel's economy or their way of living was totally destroyed. The temple was demolished. Their great city, Jerusalem, with its great walls were brought down. And spiritually, their priesthood became invalid because God brought in another people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, one that will be his own special people, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Israel was found to be nothing but leaves. So they became a subject to God's righteous punishment. However, we cannot turn a blind eye tonight to the fact that even today, as we live the Christian life, that we need to ask ourselves the question, what will Jesus do to us if he finds us not doing his will? If he finds us like the Israelites, what would Jesus do to us? And that is hypocrisy in our teachings, a hypocritical lifestyle. If Jesus finds that in us, what will he do? Turn your Bibles over to John chapter 15. And I'm looking at verse number 1. In John chapter 15 and verse number 1, the Bible says here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. Now I want you to notice in here the personal application to this scripture. You see, individually, we are all branches connected to the same vine. Individually, we are to produce our own fruit from that nourishment that we get from that true vine. And as a side note, notice that Jesus says, I am the true vine. That's because there's some false vines out there. There's some false trees out there. And even though they look like they're producing fruit, you need to be careful from where the fruit comes from. Let me show you what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 7. Over in Matthew chapter 7. The Bible says here, Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse number 15, he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. He says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes and figs from thistles? He says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, he says, with this in mind, he says, therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. By their fruits. If the fruit that is on that tree is not in obedience to God's word, or the things that they do is not consistent with that Christian life, then you can be assured that it's bad fruit. And then read verse number 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. See, I said this was a side note because we need to understand that there are some false trees out there bearing what seems to be good fruit, but we will find that because they are not obedient to the word of God, that the fruit that is bare is not good. But Jesus here wants us to know that he's talking about those who are part of the true vine, that are in him. That's why he says in verse number 2, every branch in me. He's talking about those of us who obey the gospel, those of us who are truly in him. But look at what happens. Look at what happens. He says that if the branch does not bear fruit, he takes it away. We have, as Christian, an obligation to grow, to teach, and to bear fruits of righteousness, living a true Christian life. It is our responsibility. And God gives us everything that we need in order to do it. There's a scripture in Matthew chapter 13, beginning about verse number 41. He talks about, and here is speaking about the tares and the wheat in reference to the seed of the kingdom. And he says in verse number 41, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. And then he says, and they will be cast, and he will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But look at verse number 43, if you've turned your Bibles there. It says, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Notice here that we learn the fate of the faithful and of the unfaithful. So, the question tonight is this. What will Jesus find in your life? Is he going to find fruit, or is he going to find nothing but leaves? We need to be fruit-bearing people. Jesus was hungry, and he desired some fruit. And we need to be that fruit that Jesus desires. Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He says, for they shall be filled. Tonight, we have an opportunity to be filled. Tonight, we have an opportunity to come and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you have not, so that you might be able to reserve your place in heaven if you will continue to live as the Word of God tells us to live. Do you want to be fruit-bearing, or do you want to just be leaves only? And to my brothers and sisters in Christ who maybe know that, yeah, I've not been doing all I should be doing. Maybe when Jesus comes, he won't find any fruit. Well, you have an opportunity to turn that around. Start living your life right. Repent of your sins. Come back and be a part of God's wonderful kingdom once again. Tonight, we want to give you that opportunity. We have a song of invitation that was chosen. I believe that number is 127, 128, 287. Okay, all right. I picked up the wrong songbook. I know I had it here somewhere. And you have an opportunity to come tonight. If you need to come and put on the Lord in baptism, we can assist you in that. If you need to come and repent of your sins, we can assist you in that and praying with you and for you. Because it's all about us working together, making it to our eternal home. Bruce, come on. We're going to stand and we're going to sing this invitation song. But I want you to understand this. The invitation doesn't come from us. It comes from God. We are just assisting you in what you want to do. So if you reject tonight, you're not rejecting us. We'd love to have you, but you're rejecting God.